Hey, it's Dr. Nikki, and we are on the season finale of Ginny and Georgia. That's season one, episode 10, and the fun never stops. So pull up a pizza couch, get a snack, and start talking. Love you guys.
Hi, thanks for being here. We are ready to talk about Ginny and Georgia season finale. I made it through one season, although I was not totally on board of loving this show. I would not say I love it, but I have loved our discussions. Mm. Right? Like that's what we're here for. I love the deeper learning that we can figure out from emotional drama on TV. I love the conversations that we can have with young people. And I do talk to my kids' friends about Ginny and Georgia. And so it's interesting to learn from. Nikki, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm really tired because I just took an overnight flight back from the West Coast, and I traveled from Nome to see my daughter's final performance in San Francisco. And talk about drama. Let me tell you, when you've got 28 kids and a creative team and a set in a different city every night, moving on a bus, there is so much drama. So wow. I feel like I felt it firsthand on some level with some similar issues, like something that happened with Ginny, where her friends were mad at her, but she didn't know why. Nobody is talking about what's going on with them. And it kind of happened similarly for my daughter, that people kind of X'd her out in a way, and she didn't know why. And you walk around feeling like you're crazy, not understanding what's going on and what you've done and how to fix it, and feeling really desperate. And it's so interesting how one person in the group gets to decide that they're not talking to whoever they feel like not talking to, and then they take the other friend with them. So I was just wondering why that other friend decided to just follow Max. Was Max's madness at them so correct and so right on that she needed to support her? Or she felt like Max was the one who sets the mood and the tone and the popularity for the whole group, and figured she would bet her, just bet on Max to make sure that she's not feeling quite as isolated as Ginny and Abby feel. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Like these friendships, and I think I was talking with my kids, and maybe you and I talked about, it's sometimes within girls or those who have been socialized and raised as females, there's this competitiveness, there's this drama that seems to happen with friendships when you're young, and this comparison. You know, I think so much comes into it, and there's insecurity and desperation, and it just pervades all kinds of relationships. I see this drama at my kids' school, and they have a small school where there's only 32 kids per grade level, and it still happens. So I do think that in Ginny and Georgia, we can learn these lessons. So Max is clearly the leader of the group. Once she's mad at Ginny, Abby has her own reason for being mad at Ginny, because Abby knew about the secret beforehand. And so Max is now mad at Abby for not telling her. And as I say this out loud, it just sounds like one of those silly webs of, like, Max is mad at Abby for this, but Abby's mad at Ginny for this, and Ginny's mad at Max. It's a, you know, like a Venn diagram that we can draw of complication of everyone having hurt feelings, when really they're all kids that care about each other. They all have a friendship. They all have fun together and laugh. And somehow all of that goes away because you're so fiercely upset over one infraction that you think of as, like, this is terrible. I cannot trust you or be a friend to you ever again. I'm cutting you out of my life in this.
So what is the infraction exactly? Was the infraction that she lied to her? Was the infraction that she slept with Marcus? Was the infraction that she had said she was a virgin and wasn't, and was somehow playing along with them? Like, what was truly the infraction there? And that I'm not 100% sure of, because it seems like there are so many, but we've spoken about this before with this particular show, that nobody's really noticing the struggles of the other person. And everybody is so focused on their own difficulties and their own struggles and what's going on in their own life. And nobody is somehow paying attention to what's going on in other people's lives. And they're all struggling in their own way.
I think that if I had to guess, Max felt like she trusted Ginny. She tells her everything. Max is an oversharer. And then to find out that Ginny had this secret thing going with Marcus, she's furious that Ginny wasn't honest with her, that would be the main hurt. And it's, she didn't tell her that. And so I don't think that Max would be mad that it was her brother, really.
I think that she's got this competition with her brother, uh-huh. and definitely would not want her brother taking her friend's attention away. Uh-huh. Max is a person who seems to need a lot of attention and to be the center of it. So right. I think if somehow Marcus was taking her attention away, she would be really pissed off about it. Mm-hmm. Thinking that, why doesn't he just go and find other people? Why does he need to poach, infringe on, or whatever, her friends? These are her people.
So you think if it was a different guy, Max would have not reacted so badly? And we know that Abby already is, she's ready to cut Jenny out at the drop of a hat so that she can have Max to herself anyway. So she could take that opportunity, but she didn't know Max was going to be mad at her, and she blames Jenny for that. It's, yeah, such a tangled web.
So true. And then when that friend came in, the one that had been somewhat marginalized in that group, and Ginny was wondering, maybe the friend knew why everybody was mad at Ginny. And clearly this friend did not feel bad for Ginny, because she had felt so X'd out of the Mang group for so long. Mm-hmm. And I'm always wondering, is there a way to keep people in the group? Like I said, I was watching it happen with my daughter in this production, and it looks like people just have enough attention for the small group that they have and don't seem to have the bandwidth for something bigger or something a little bit more difficult or something that challenges. So it's really interesting to watch where people can't actually be open-hearted and more inclusive, that it feels too much or too hard.
Yeah, I think there are times, my kids and I have discussed, there's one friendship I'm thinking of where one person is a little passive aggressive, and you're friends with this person and you care about this person, but they're constantly making these comments like, oh, well, thanks for remembering to acknowledge my existence or something. So they're, that person is always feeling slighted. It isn't intentional by the group, but each little comment that is made kind of irritates, I think, the others, like saying, sorry that I was just announcing out loud and not talking directly to you, or maybe I was looking at someone else, but one person clearly feels slighted. And then how do you address that? Do you just, so the pattern that has been the pattern for a while, and that person stays in the group, but it's just a slightly irritating level of noise, and nobody wants to like excommunicate you from the group and cut them out, but
that's
probably
so
would
interesting.
Not be well received to address it either and say like, hey, when you keep making these comments, it's pretty irritating, because that person's already feeling like everyone hates me. So
I well, know. It's almost like a fait accompli. You think everyone hates you, and then you feel isolated from the group, and
Yes.
then you're constantly
Then you make it
confronting
happen.
them,
Yes.
and it's almost like, and I'm watching that happen with my daughter and her friends as well, that she's feeling this way, and she's looking for all the evidence, and she could feel left out, and she's not willing to make the first move or somehow ask for whatever she wants because she's so acutely aware of where they could possibly say no. So she almost hurts herself before she ever gets there. Totally not blaming whatever, but it's just such an interesting dynamic because you're right. It becomes that irritating, constant need for affirmation and approval that is just not fun sometimes or not easy to be with. Or, and so no, they're not gonna hang with anything that makes things feel harder for them, especially while they're struggling in their own ways, no matter what.
I don't know. And I agree, like, no one to blame. I think on both sides, people are just trying to do their best and
Exactly,
feel
exactly. And
validated and feel included, but nobody knows quite how to make it work. And then the same thing kind of between mom and daughter here, where, of course, they care about each other. They want the best for each other. They want to be supportive. And then it's just a lot of friction and pain. I thought when finally when Ginny says to her mom, "I'm just like you. I am just like you. I'm a bitch. I'm a liar. I'm a whore. And I can't trust you." And so I thought, all of that coming out and Georgia having to look at that and face that was pretty interesting.
yeah, I definitely I think that's interesting how that happens and how we don't serve our best interest by somehow just being unkind or somewhat evasive or whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot of lying going on, or at least not complete truth telling. And it's interesting to me that Joe keeps talking about brutally honest, but he can't be brutally honest with Georgia. Now, sometimes it just seems like a timing thing. I think he was willing to tell Georgia how he felt about her. But the timing just wasn't right. She had just gotten engaged to Paul. What did you think about those family photos? They look like the Swiss Family Robinson. I don't know, some like all American wonderfulness going on, trying to be a family all of a sudden for a Christmas
Oh,
or
yeah. Yeah, when they were to with the engagement and the kids, that was a moment of our time, because that's how the way that the photo looks and this outward appearance that we all have so much, we all have so many images coming through to see everyone's perfect life all the time. And when you know the backstory, I just think that's very of the time that we see everyone fighting and miserable. Ginny's ready to run away and leave this family and has to sit there on the couch at where they all do look perfect and glamorous and adorable.
Although, clearly she's mixed heritage in a very white town, and so I'm sure she has lots of feelings about the what she calls whitewashing of whatever racism there is. And her and Brayshia have interesting conversations, and I thought that was pretty good for her to actually have the connection with Brayshia, just because there's something that she's working on all the time, being one of the few people of color in that school. And also that when Max X'd her out, she did feel like she could go to another group. Like, how do we find other people when the people either we're closest to or the ones that we want to be with don't necessarily want to be with us? Like, can we pivot? Are we resilient? Can we find other people, or can we be okay being alone? And those are two good options that I think we can't tell we have when we're so wounded and hurt.
And that was one thing I love about Wednesday Addams, of her being such a strong person that we kind of admire, And she would just walk into a cafeteria with a book and sit alone and be like, this is me. This is what I'm doing. I don't, I can exist in myself and I don't have to sit with any of you and conform to any of you or go try to suck up to any of you when you're being mean to me. Where usually we don't see that in a positive light. Everyone thinks, oh no, that's terrible if you have to sit alone. And to think I can be empowered, strong, capable, confident, and sit alone and do my own thing. It's
Although
kind
I think Wednesday Addam really goes to the opposite extreme of that. She really
of
has no interest in people because she doesn't trust them as far as she could throw them. They have proven to be completely untrustworthy, and she's decided everyone is. So she's the other end of it, whereas
Right.
all trying to fit in the tribe, and Wednesday's like, I want to be no part of this tribe because you're all a bunch of idiots and you're going to turn on me really quickly. So
Yeah,
she's
and
the
we
other
see
end.
Jenny looking around thinking, who am I gonna? I want to be part of a group, and where can I align myself, and what options do I have? Yeah, but I like that that these characters, the new friends that she sits with, are more layered. No one's in their stereotype. Everyone has their I mean, it seemed like in a quick, like 3 second kind of intro, everyone has a unique story, so they seem kind of fun. What do you think? Why, what was the appeal of Meng? Anyway, Meng, I mean, Max is fun, but I'd never thought that Abby was an amazing person, or the other girl. I don't even know her name. She's such a side character of just being like the person who's glomming on to whatever Max says. She says, yeah, that's what I like too. She has no personality.
Although she seems really sweet, Nora, and I totally hear what you're saying. She's not a very strong personality, that's for sure, but she seems to have a nice relationship with her boyfriend. And so I was kind of interested that she didn't try to figure out how to tell Max, like, listen, these are your really good friends, and they're figuring stuff out too. Although, is it the other person's job to do that? You hope that they would. Remember when we were watching Never Have I Ever, Ben was always really good at that, at telling Davey, okay, this is not okay, and this is why. And even though he was kind of a jerk about so many things, he did know what was right and wrong and could kind of help people figure that out. But Nora definitely is no help there. And Abby really just telling Ginny to not share that with Max really was doing that to protect herself, their relationship. She always said, I can't lose Meng right now, because she's kind of sitting on the edge of always being ready to fall under somehow. So Abby is very, very vulnerable and extremely sensitive to whatever's going on.
Yeah, that never seemed like selfless of Abby, that she was being considerate or really
Of
trying to
Max at
help
all.
everyone.
Not at all. Not at all. So this was the season finale, and it ended kind of big with Jesse, the private detective, telling Ginny about how dangerous her mother is. Now, Ginny knows who her mother is. I don't think she has any false ideas about her mom and what she would do in order to move whatever forward. But he told her that he was worried for Ginny's safety. And I thought that was interesting. And Ginny actually believed it and felt
Did
like she
she,
needed to
or
get out.
does Jenny think that she's in danger? I don't think she thinks that her mom would ever do anything to hurt her. Or you
Probably
mean?
not her, but she would do things to hurt others. And that's why she throws away the aconite, that big blue flower. So there's something about that that she feels like she needs to get out quickly. So it's almost like she would protected her mom by burning the evidence and then was gone. Why do you think she left?
Yeah, I mean, that seemed so over the top. And I thought her taking Austin just seemed pretty, if she decided for herself that she was going to run away, but her taking Austin seemed pretty off the rails to think, I'll just decide, I'll ask this, what, 7, 8-year-old for his decision. And then as long as the 7 or 8-year-old is committed to this, I think it's a good idea to put him on a motorcycle with me with no plan and drive off into
Somewhere. Well, so
somewhere.
that's an interesting thing. Like, does Austin have any free will at all to make those decisions or not? And clearly he didn't have the independent ability to make a decision in terms of the letters to his father. Georgia does as much as she can to protect them while being dishonest and hurting them at the same time. So he had gone through the thing where he was cutting school and he wasn't talking and she wouldn't send him to a therapist. And so I think that Ginny really felt like she was acting like the mature adult, taking Austin away from that. But I also, now that I think of it, I think that Jesse also made it seem like he was going to bring her mom down at some point. So maybe the whole situation was going to become unsafe for everybody. And that might be why Ginny took Austin with her.
Yeah, unsafe in the wider sense of like if Georgia goes to jail, that where they might end up in foster care or separated. So
Right.
maybe Ginny's trying to run to escape that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
I knew that would
I don't
upset you.
know what. Can you think of a conversation like how could this have been avoided? What could Ginny and Georgia say? Like, how could Ginny talk to Georgia to talk to her instead of running away?
I think there are probably things that Ginny is still not ready to know because they're so deep and bothersome. If I tell my kids my secrets, they're not really that bad. They're
You
not terrible to
haven't
others.
murdered like 4 people
I
in
haven't
your
murdered 4 people. Exactly. I haven't poisoned people. I'm not, like the devil doctor doing horrible thing. Like really what I've done is pretty Disney compared to anything that Georgia clearly is doing. So I don't know if Ginny's actually ready to have that conversation with Georgia at all, because there are too many things that she couldn't unknow. That's that whole thing about when you see something, you can't unsee it unless you like go into some deep, dark denial thing.
And I wonder if Ginny had sat down and said, "Mom, I'm really scared." If she had been honest and said, "This private detective, sorry, is contacted me. I don't know what to do. I feel like this is you're gonna get caught or something terrible is going to happen."
Right.
Maybe because of the past, Ginny already knows that her mom is going to uproot them, leave in the middle of the night, presumably change their names, like try to run away from her past as she has always done. And so Ginny just took it upon herself to do that.
Right, that's interesting. I didn't think of it that way, that she's the one who picked up and left this time, as opposed to Georgia. So she almost took some of her own agency to figure out what she was going to do, as opposed to having no say in what was going to happen to them.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I trust Jenny. Like, I think she clearly is hurting. There's a lot of things going on with her. It's not that she makes the best or the not best decisions. I think we all could question some decisions we make, but I think she's trying to be as responsible as she can be. And
And I think she makes better decisions than Georgia. She
right.
makes more thoughtful, considerate decisions than her mom. does now as an adult, not let alone her mom at age 16 and 22, and however many terrible relationships she
Right.
kept pursuing,
Well, I think
and
that
getting
Georgia
herself.
is in a fight for her life, whereas she did protect Jenny enough for her not to be constantly surviving.
Yeah, it was just right, one thing after another. And I think Ginny has, she also has Zion's influence
Yeah.
of another. She has two parents who love and care about her, and they're talking to her, and they want the best for her, even if their attempts at creating the best for her end up being terrible. She at least feels their love and knows that the intention there is that they care about her.
I love that. Is that enough, do you think? Like, do you think having two parents that love you is pretty good? I mean,
But
they're.
it's clearly not enough for Jenny. They're still messing up her life. And when Zion promises to be there and be in her life and then says, actually, I'm leaving again, it's just another abandonment. It like opens up that wound. Even though we know he loves and cares about her, that is not enough for her in that moment. Like him promising that and leaving is just devastating in her life. Her mom also saying,
That's
we're going to
true.
stay here, and her not trusting that and constantly asking, are we really going to stay here? Is it really going to be the three of us? And then also breaking that commitment. It's just going to be the three of us, no men. You've got me. We're stable. Wellsbury is our new life. All of those
Right, and that
promises turn out
lasted like a
to be
minute until she met Paul or figured out what
right.
she wanted to pursue. Yeah, but there is, I mean, not saying that life won't be difficult, that there won't be struggles. Clearly she's had lots of them. But what you said before, she does have two parents that do love her and care about her, and they're deeply scarred in many ways, but they still are pretty kind to her. I mean, except for the
Oh yeah.
abandonment stuff. But you know, I mean, Zion definitely leaves, but he's a
No, but he
person
loves her,
who
right? Like,
totally
yeah,
loves
he's
her.
thinking of her all the time. He wants to raise her. He wants to be an influence. He wants to share the books that he loves and the lessons that he learned from those. Like, and Georgia too wants the best. They're just their decisions and their life is sort of a train wreck all around. But
Right,
I
in some
don't
ways.
think Georgia didn't have parents that even loved her or had the intention
At
of
all.
making
It was
her
very
life was
abusive. Yeah.
right.
Yeah. No, Georgia definitely came from a very, very hurt, violent background. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
So maybe that having love has given is making Ginny more capable and thoughtful in her decisions. Whereas Georgia's more just like scattered, like absolutely no thought or actual, wisdom in her decisions.
I mean, I think there's thought, but it's reactive, and it's reactive from a place of really trying to save her life all the time and feeling like it's always under threat. So I
Yeah,
think
her
it's, yeah.
decisions are just like panic, panic, be fake, like live my life being fake and manipulative and
She really messed up with Cynthia. Like, Cynthia, who did know she was embezzling and knows something's
Oh,
going
yeah.
on with Georgia. It's not that Cynthia didn't know, but Cynthia is the kind of person that will react so meanly and suddenly that somehow all of the little bits and pieces crack, and you could just like repoint the finger at Cynthia and call her crazy. But people accept, except Paul, who doesn't seem to notice that Georgia is doing these things, but everybody else seems to notice that, or at least now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Is that good enough? I mean, it is a season finale, and now Ginny and Austin are on a bike heading to who knows where. And we'll see next season. I know that this you're not loving the show because it seems harder for us to figure out how to get together and do it, and I'm traveling quite a bit, but there's something about where it's not quite as exciting for us to do that, but but we're powering through Ginny and Georgia, and we have one
We're
season left.
committed, yes.
We're committed because we know you guys like it, and I think it's really important that you have these conversations. So just on that note, I finished my book and it is now published and on Kindle. I don't have it in print yet, but it is an ebook and e-reader, and really just to help you guys have as many conversations as possible. And this kind of came from the mistakes point of view, where we go wrong in, well-meaning, well-intended, probably based on how people were talking to us as we were growing up. But just the basic ones that will make a huge difference if you can shift that around.
Brilliant. And that I appreciate that kind of parenting book rather than like a parenting book from the perspective of we all make mistakes. So many times especially when my kids were younger, I would read a parenting book and feel like, well, I've messed everything up. I didn't follow the advice in this book and I had to do all of this by the
Like a
time they were
how-to book, like they
8
somehow
years
know, but
old.
you don't,
Right.
or
Yes. Like, yeah, how to make sure your kids are capable and confident and whatever. Right. All of the
these
things.
are definitely more general mistakes that I have made a thousand times, like assuming what my kids are feeling, assuming how they should be, like the assuming thing is really big. So, and not listening and, stuff
And
like
you
that.
made those mistakes and have fantastic relationships with
Yes.
your adult children now. I can make
Yes.
these
Yeah.
mistakes and establish communication and trust and love and connection. So that's a
Absolutely. I
good
and
one.
the reason why is because the second I start thinking about it and really trying to shift something, they already know it. So I don't even have to be good at it. They just have to notice that I've actually made some kind of shift to really listen or understand or not assume that they're horrible, lazy, whatever kinds of people. Like just the littlest change is already noticeable. So that's why it's kind of exciting and hopeful and encouraging that you listen for a minute without a judgment or a criticism, and they already know it. They're almost taken aback.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all. We love doing this with you. Please like, rate, review, and share. We've got a couple of fun books that we're going to figure out how to get out there to you guys and keep talking. It makes all the difference in the world.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye. If you want to really learn how to have the most meaningful, fun, connected conversations with your teenagers, get in touch with us and see if it makes sense to work together. You will stop future generational trauma, as well as really decrease the incidence of high-risk behaviors just by your strong and close connections. All right, speak to you soon.